The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel ben Yamin Honigwax, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. This volume has been graciously dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Shimshon Beanstock and family in memory of Nechama Bas Kalev Klein Aleha Shalom. May the Torah studied through this volume be an everlasting zechus for her neshama.
Gittin Dav Chav Dalad. Mr. Shem, we're going to speak this year and the next year about the Inyan of Breira. Very, very large sugya and shat. We will, Mr. Shem, not be able to do justice to the sugya, but we'll try to cover a few small nekudas, a few small points. In Cheshen Mishpat, since my field is Cheshen Mishpat, I'll discuss a little bit of Cheshen Mishpat, about the application of Breira to Cheshen Mishpat, which is as follows. What is the halacha if a person makes an obligation upon himself, undertakes to obligate himself towards a person who is not yet specified? The case that is discussed in the Achrayim, one of the many cases that's discussed in the Achrayim is a person who was Shchimra, he was about to die, and he said that his son-in-law should be able to use his storefront. So the question was, two of his daughters weren't married, and the question was whether his permission to use the storefronts applied to son-in-laws who had not yet been defined who those son-in-laws were because the daughters weren't married yet. So the Maharit has a very long tshuva about this, and he discusses at length the idea of Breira when it comes to the Inyan of Cheshen Mishpat, his chayvus. Another very, very common application of this is in reference to what I discussed in Shir on Daf Yud Gimel, that there's an idea of being mishtabed l'chol l'chol da'asim achmosach, that and we explained that bank accounts are based on this premise that when a person writes a will, even if it's not a good will in Dinei Yisrael, if it's a good will in Dinei Avik Echavim, it will work with regard to a bank account because the bank is mischayv originally to whoever the din of Umos Olam says, that whatever the secular law says the bank should pay to. So now the question is that originally when you put the money in the bank was mischayv to somebody who was not yet specified because we didn't yet know who the person was going to write his will for and whether he was going to write a will. So in such a case, we would consider it and say that this is a problem of Breira, that the original obligation the person took upon himself to be obligated to pay to an unknown person should be dependent on the din of Breira, and if you hold Ein Breira, then this obligation will not take effect, and that's relevant for us because we paskin that yesh Breira with regard to Drabbanan Dikadinim, but there's Ein Breira with regard to the Raisa Dikadinim. So the question would be whether Midoi Raisa, the bank will be obligated to pay that unspecified person. It's negated any time a person takes an obligation upon himself without specifying the recipient of the obligation. So there's a Tshuva to Rosh, and the Rosh speaks about this question, and he says that it does indeed work, and he brings a Raya. And this Raya would seem to indicate that Midoi Raisa it works. What's the Raya? The Raya is from the Pasuk by Shaul HaMelech. Everybody knows that there was once a giant, a Palestinian giant, his name was Goliath, and he was threatening the Jewish people. And Shaul HaMelech, the king of the Jews, made a declaration, and he said that whoever succeeds in killing this giant will be made exceedingly rich by the king, and the king will give him his daughter to marry. So, in the end, everybody knows that David HaMelech was the one who killed Goliath, and David HaMelech, and there's a whole Gemara that discusses the fact that Shaul HaMelech owed the money to David, and the question was whether the Kedushin took effect, and we'll get to that in a few minutes, because that becomes relevant to our conversation. So the Rosh asks, how was this obligation of Shaul HaMelech able to take effect? Don't we know that there's a problem of Breira? And since Shaul HaMelech obligated himself and he didn't know who he was being mechayv himself towards, so if you hold there's a problem in such a situation, so there should be a problem there also. So the Rosh proves from here that it's possible to obligate yourself to somebody who is not specified. The Maharit challenges this Rosh. He asks two questions on the Rosh. Question number one the Maharit asks is that there's a big difference, because we know that the Gemara says that David HaMelech was that the person who was going to marry Shaul HaMelech's daughter was going to marry her using this obligation that Shlomo HaMelech was obligated himself to that person. He was going to use that money as a kesef kedushin, as the money for the kedushin. So the question is that the question is as follows. The question is that we know that by kedushin, the husband, the groom has to make a declaration that he wants to create the kedushin. He wants to be mekadesh the woman. He wants to become engaged to her. The groom has to make a declaration. So in this case, it would be necessary in order for the kedushin to take effect, it would be necessary for David HaMelech at some point to tell Shaul, you should know that I want to marry your daughter with this money. So obviously that would take place at the time of when David HaMelech approached Shaul and told him that I want to go and fight with Goliath. That's what the Maariv assumes. The Maariv assumes that when David HaMelech approached Shaul and told him I want to go ahead and take out Goliath, at that time David HaMelech told him, okay, so now I'm going to get the money and now I'm going to use that money to mekadesh your daughter Meirav. So the question is, asked my writ, at that point, Shaul HaMelech knew good and well who David was. So at that point, Shaul HaMelech was mechayiv himself, he obligated himself to a person who was specified at that point. And that's one question that my writ asked on the Rush. The Ktzais challenges this question of the Maariv. He says he doesn't understand the question. Why? Because if indeed that's what took place over here, then the Gemara doesn't make sense. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that the Kedushin that David HaMelech was Mekadosh Meirav did not take effect. Why? Because we know Mekadosh B'milva Einu Mekudesha. Somebody who's Mekadosh, a woman with a pre-existing obligation, is not Mekudesha. Asked the Ktzais if indeed the situation was the way the Maariv tries to describe it, that David HaMelech came over to Shaul and he told him, I want to take out Goliath. And because of that, you're going to have to be obligated to pay me. And through that obligation, I want to be Mekadosh, your daughter Meirav. If that's what happened, then we have a Maariv problem. Because the Gemara tells us that that's not considered Mekadosh Milva. That's considered that you're being Mekadosh Veschirus. And Mekadosh Veschirus, under many circumstances, is Mekudashus. So if so, the Gemara in Sanhedrin is very schwer that the Gemara says that the kedushin of David HaMelech and Meirav, the engagement of David HaMelech to Meirav, was faulty because of the problem of Mekadosh Milva. If according to the picture that the Maariv tries to paint for us, it wouldn't be considered Mekadosh Milva, it would be Mekadosh Veschirus. So there's a very interesting Nesivus over here. The Nesivus says that he disputes the Ktzais' argument. The Ktzais' argument is that since David HaMelech was performing a service for Shaul HaMelech by going and killing Goliath, therefore, it's not a milva, it's not just a random obligation that Shaul was obligated to pay David money, and David was trying to use that money of the obligation to be Mekadosh's daughter. The Ktzais was asking that since David HaMelech was performing a service for Shaul, so it's like a worker who works in order to become engaged to a person's daughter, or to a woman. If a person tells a woman, I'm going to work for you, and because of my working, I want you to be Mekudeshus to me. So that is different than Mekadosh Milva, and under many circumstances it does work. So that's the Ktzais' question. Argues the Nesivus, that wouldn't make any sense, because since Goliath was threatening Klal Yisrael, David HaMelech certainly was not, his intention when he went to kill Goliath was not to perform a service as a payal for Shaul. He wasn't a worker who was working for Shaul with the intention of receiving payment or kedushin in lieu of payment. That wasn't the intention of David HaMelech. David HaMelech's intention was certainly to save Klal Yisrael. Since his intention was to save Klal Yisrael, so it's impossible to include this under the framework of Schirus Payalim and to say that David HaMelech was like an ordinary worker who would be Mekadosh the Isha by working for her in lieu of payment. That wouldn't make any sense, since David HaMelech's intention was not to perform a service for Shaul or for his daughter. David HaMelech's intention was to save Klal Yisrael. So it would be impossible for Shaul to become obligated to David because of the service that David HaMelech performed for him. The only way for Shaul HaMelech to become obligated to David would be by Shaul HaMelech creating an independent obligation that was not dependent on David HaMelech's actual service that rendered, because the service rendered obviously was not for Shaul's benefit. So therefore, if Shaul HaMelech had to go ahead and create a new obligation, that obligation would certainly be within the framework of milva rather than within the framework of schiras, since the obligation was not in payment for the services that David HaMelech was rendering to him. The Nesivus doesn't actually invoke this idea, but I think that what the Nesivus probably means is that there's a concept called Mavriach Ari, that when a person is Mavriach Ari, when a person sees that there's a lion coming to threaten somebody else's possessions or his body or anything like that, the halacha is that somebody who saves that person cannot charge for the services that he rendered to that person, because the services that he's performing is not considered a service for him. It's considered that he's doing it for the mitzvah of saving the person, and therefore it would be impossible for the person to charge for the service that he's performing, and therefore it would seem to me that there's strong precedent for the Nesivus' argument that this would not be able to be included in the din of Skiras Pilon. I just wanted to mention the other question of the Marit. The Marit asks another question. The Marit asks that even if we don't paint the picture the way he painted it in his first question, it still he still doesn't understand the Rosh's Raya. Because since in this case, Shaul HaMelech said that when you do this work of killing Goliath, then I'm going to owe you money, so the Marit says that's like denoting that somebody will be a shliach, somebody will be an agent for you. So the Marit says that in such a situation, there's never a problem of Breira. Because since the obligation will only take effect once the person does the work, so the obligation doesn't take effect at the time of the declaration, and we should have a problem of Breira because we don't know who that person is. Since the obligation takes effect only when the work is performed, so therefore, and at that time the person who's performing the work is specified, we know who that person is, argues the Marit that should not be included in the Din of Breira. The Din of Breira only applies when the Chalois is being Chal at the time when the thing of the Chalois is not specified. However, if the Chalois is only Chal later, when it already became specified, so then, of course, that would not be included in Breira, argues the Marit. So therefore, in this situation, where the obligation was created because of the service performed, and Shaul was not obligated in any way until the service was performed, in such a situation, we should not be dependent on the Dinam of Breira. I don't understand this Marit 100%, because as far as I see, this Marit should also run into the conflict with the Gemara in Sanhedrin that the place quoted. Because if you tell me that the payment is going to be based on the services rendered, so then we will again be in contradiction with this Gemara in Sanhedrin that declares the obligation of Shaul to be within the framework of Milva rather than within the framework of Schirus. So therefore, I find this Marit a little bit hard to understand, and over here the Nesivus' answer won't really apply, because Marit seems to be invoking the Halacha of Pailim himself.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.